How you doing? I'm Jackie from 1990s.
Hello, I'm Jamie from 1990s.
Hello, I'm Michael from 1990s.
Painfully obvious question, so don't kill me for it. Why not the 1960s, 1970s, or 1980s?
We were called the 1960s. We were originally called the 60s because it was just dreadful. I mean, we called ourselves the 1960s, and then somebody came up with 1990s, and we thought, that's really bad, let's call ourselves that. Because when we started, we didn't need a name, because we weren't going to play any shows or anything. Right. So we were just staying indoors. So 1990s seemed as good a name as anything.
So I guess it's a good choice, because I just read that the 1990s was the decade of disasters, because more disasters happened in the 90s. You know, the Y2K bug, earthquakes, the Gulf War. So, you know, so basically you named yourself after a disaster. You know, you're a disastrous band from the beginning. Is that good?
Definitely. Also, most of the music in the 1990s was a disaster.
So you did three nights in New York City, San Francisco, sandwiched in between two shots in L.A., one last night and tomorrow. So give me a couple of highlights so far from the tour. Tell me what's been going on.
A highlight? I think it was walking around San Francisco today, actually.
Yeah,
and we went there, and we went to the one in LA. Just walking the streets. I prefer that to playing. It's not true, actually. No, last night was definitely the best gig, I think. And we're going back to the Troubadour on tomorrow.
The album literally has just been released here, like, 5 days ago. And except for DJs like me playing a track or two early as an import, you know, and it's all changed thanks to downloading, in that the audience probably, in the old days, the audience wouldn't have known any of the songs, but the audience here probably, tonight they'll be singing along. So is that kind of freaky when you've got an album out for six, because the Beatles didn't have that, even, or the Stones, none of these bands, you know, in the 1960s or 70s or 80s had the opportunity, if the record wasn't released yet and you played an early gig, you were you know what.
But there's two sides to that in a way. It's like one side is astonishing when you roll into a town anywhere in the world. Could be like Holland, could be, you know, NYC, could be like, you know, Sao Paulo. Yeah. And they download the songs and they know the songs, and it's really weird because it's kind of like somebody's been reading your diary or something, like from afar. It's really kind of freaky. It's like meeting somebody that's got your face as a tattoo or something. But
have you met that?
No, I haven't had that just yet. Or maybe I have, but I didn't notice. But the other thing is that our songs are pretty direct. So even from our first shows, people were singing along. Like they kind of, after like one chorus, you kind of get it anyway. We played Norway a while back, and we played a new song. It was the song actually you'd have heard tonight. And after one chorus, like 2,000 people were singing it right back at us. So that's
freaky.
Freaky definitely. Stuff. But it was very, I feel like I was at Shea Stadium,
there you go. So now, then you've got the UK festivals, more of Europe, Australia, Tokyo, which take you through October, and then you're back here in the US for the big tour, right?
Yeah,
it's going to be...
The pressure will be on then, this is playtime.
It's going to be really good playing in all the little towns, I think. I think we're going up to Canada as well, and then down the two coasts and all the middle stuff, so I think that'll be really tiring. I've only ever been to New Orleans and New York and here, but I don't think any of us have ever been sort of anywhere apart from the coastal bits.
But it'll be funny. It's like I like the idea that maybe we'll be driving to all these places, so we get to kind of join the dots a little bit. Yeah, because I hate flying anyway, so it's quite exciting to just sort of get in a bus and that's us for 3 weeks. And plus, we're hooking up with loads of daft other bands. Like, we're playing with Rocky Erickson for two nights, and we're playing with like the Long Blondes and Art Brut, who are like old friends.
So, after the Yummy Fur, you took a different path than the rest of the band. Needless to say, you didn't. They found their ways to that FF band, yep. And you didn't go there. And then phase one of this band kind of came in what was kind of a joke that happened while you and Michael were kind of in the rather heavy party mode.
Yes.
So, Yummy met V-Twin, right? And since I've read too many canned versions of the story... You know, and I mean, when I say canned, it's all well to have it on the website, but there are canned versions of the story, you know, and it's been written instead of told. So can you do a short version of kind of the pre-Damo Suzuki moment and how that drove you to get serious about this band.
Just a couple of things. One was that me and Michael used to go to parties. We'd get a bit crazed. And one night we wrote this song called Enjoying Myself. Without any instruments, raced up to mine at 5 a.m. and recorded it on a little like 10-track thing. And then next thing you know, we got this offer to play with Damo Suzuki from Cannes. We were all big Cannes fans. So we kind of started doing like 2-hour improv shows and stuff and really liked playing with each other. But after about the second like Damo show, it was like, it's great fun to play with your heroes, but... I'd have been more excited to play with like Michael Caroli from Cannes or Jackie Leavesite than play with like Damo, although I love Damo. So then we thought, well, let's keep the band but ditch this krautrock sort of guy. And luckily we remembered all these songs that we'd written at parties that were just lyrics, so we just kind of knocked some riffs into shape and glued them together, and next thing you know, we're up and running. But it was still just to stay indoors. It wasn't going to be a gig.
You end up opening for your old bandmates, and against your will, damn it, Rough Trade goes, I mean, of all the labels, right? Rough Trade goes and signs you.
And we're still not taking it too seriously. That's our thing. We don't have a plan. That's always been our... We just kind of
bumble. You don't have a plan.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Exactly. And it works. I believe it's known as Wu Wei in kind of Taoist philosophy.
Wu Wei.
Wu Wei.
I thought we're in San Francisco.
You then found yourself a big time producer in Bernard Butler, right? And Norman Blake was involved. So tell me a little bit about that, because obviously, and I also didn't know, because my original copy, until I got it, you know, what I originally got was that, right? So that doesn't tell me a thing. And then I open this up and I find out that you borrowed some vintage equipment from one of my heroes, who I actually saw in this very club. Yes, Mr. Collins, yeah, who played here and did some Orange Juice songs and all of that, and he's one of my idols. I want to go over there and interview that man sometime soon. But so, what was it like to actually now have to make a serious record? Tell me about the production process, because what's interesting about the record, and I was just listening to the sound check, is it's a totally raw record. And it sounds analog produced, and it sounds old fashioned, but it's really clean and it's well produced.
It's a live sound. We went in and recorded it, and we would count to four, and do a live take every time. So it's not like that kind of do the bass drum and all that first. But then we would go to town and have loads of fun, and because like we're all into guitars, Bernard's into guitars, into pianos, and all sorts. So we piled it on. But the most fun was using Edwin's guitars, because we would sit and you'd pick one up and you'd strum a G chord, and you'd just look at your, you'd be like, that's the guitar Felicity was recorded on, you can tell. And then we were sitting watching like old DVDs, and there was like Orange Juice doing Rip It Up, and I'm sitting holding the same guitar that he's got on the TV. And it's like, we're kind of Orange Juice kind of like fanatics, so I think the spirit of Orange Juice poured in. But the thing about the clean recording is, yeah, we're not big noise kind of merchants. We're not, there's moments... But none of us are really obsessed with sounding grungy or something. I think you can make nice rock and roll without it being like... The Stones were never overly distorted.
I love the quote that you have somewhere that I don't know if it's on your site, but it says, we're not about making complaint rock. So these are just songs about you and your mates. This is not complaint rock. This is not my girlfriend left me and I'm lonely and another love song. This is songs about partying and having fun.
Well, half the audience might turn up one night and like their girlfriend has left them. I don't want to be there to like remind them. We're there to take their mind away from it for a little bit. We're going to do a real big political song. Keep the war going. We love it.
Would you each ask each other a very important question that I have missed so far in this interview and you've each wanted to ask each other?
Jamie, what do you think about when you're on stage?
There's kind of like a buzzing noise. It's like bzzz. And then you think, that guy's got a funny hat on.
We've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And this is how I let my listeners know what you really like. So, two of your songs is the bread, except you can have a club. Club is allowed, so you can have three songs, put one in the middle. So you get to pick two of your songs is the bread or three of your songs, and then you each get to pick a bunch of songs by other artists in between. And I am now, as of this moment up in this room, under a covenant to play exactly what you ask me for. Oh. As you ask me for it.
Okay, I'm going to pick Weed. Oh no, by us. By that's that, we'd buy our. What's
your, what okay, for a choice by us, I'm gonna pick You're Supposed to Be My Friend.
I'm gonna pick Just Enjoying Myself.
There we go, nice mix.
Okay, and then some songs.
We got the concept song.
I'm a kind of pop guy. I'm a 24/7 kind of guy. Just don't touch my Les Paul.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick I'm gonna pick TB Sheets by Van Morrison.
Oh boy.
Wanna pick one?
And just to keep this show good, Sound and Vision by David Bowie.
Jumping at the Fire, Harry Nilsson.
The next song I'd like to pick is, I'm going to pick a song called There Is a War by Leonard Cohen. It's on New Skin for the Old Ceremony. Great song.
I'm going to pick The Drum by Slap Happy.
I'd have to pick A-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ti-ta-ta by Ernie Kider.
I'm going to pick Baby by Os Mutantes.
I'm going to pick Dedicated to the One I Love by the Mamas and Papas.
Harlem by Bill Withers.
Okay, I'm going to pick Je Suis un Rockstar by Bill Wyman, the greatest solo Stones track ever. It's a good song as well, not ironically. Yeah. It is good.
And I'm going to pick the follow-up to that. I think it's called A New Fashion by Bill Wyman.
Police Officer by Smiley Culture.
Okay. War in a Babylon by Max Romeo and Lee Perry.
I would like Try Again by Aaliyah.
Groove Me by Fan Kinney.
I'm going to pick Upside Down by the Jesus and Mary Chain.
Thank You, John, by Willie T. There you go.
Hmm.